Good morning. I'm Julie Small. This is the California Report. The city of Oakland saw a second night of protests and vandalism last night following a Missouri grand jury's decision not to indict police officer Darren Wilson for shooting and killing Michael Brown. Several hundred marched through Oakland, blocking first one, then another major freeway. Some protesters lit trash cans on fire to form a flaming barricade across a major intersection. Some smashed storefronts and spray-painted walls, windows, and bus stops. Oakland and Berkeley pastor Ben McBride marched with the crowd, but he called the vandalism counterproductive.
The whole issue of Mike Brown and the conversation about justice for Mike Brown is a bigger conversation about whether we believe that law enforcement officials can commit crimes while they are on duty. And particularly, that's a conversation that affects people of color.
McBride says Oakland has made progress in recent years on the issue, greatly decreasing the rate and number of officer-involved shootings. Oakland native Kev Choice, who also participated in the demonstration, said the purpose goes beyond a single night of protest.
Hopefully more and more people get involved, and that's why it's good to be out in the streets to get awareness so the media and people can know that we're here for the long haul. And there's people that's fighting this every day, even when it's not a big case like a Michael Brown. So there's always going to be people fighting against police injustice in our society.
The California Highway Patrol said they arrested some protesters but gave no more details. In Los Angeles, protesters also took to the streets for a second night. About 400 people marched several miles through South L.A. to downtown police headquarters. The crowd was met by metal barricades and LAPD officers in riot gear. Some people swore at officers, rattled barricades, and hurled rocks and bottles. Most remained nonviolent and called on other protesters to do the same. Authorities also temporarily blocked freeway access near the USC campus to stop protesters from rushing onto the roadway. No arrests or property damage were reported, though at least one LAPD squad car was reportedly vandalized. Drought conditions in parts of Central California have become so harsh that it's normal to turn on the tap and have no water coming out. This summer, in the rural town of East Porterville, over 600 household wells went dry, leaving the community almost entirely waterless. Earlier this month, some of the town's residents were given access to something they haven't had in months. Valley Public Radio's Ezra David Romero has more.
The last time Gilberto Sandoval had a warm shower was more than a month ago at his daughter's house.
He's been without running water for the last 3 months.
Pastor Ramon Hernandez translated for the 81-year-old. Hernandez leads Iglesia Emmanuel Church, across the street from Sandoval's house. Sandoval is one of more than 3,800 people without water in East Porterville. That's just over half the population. Sandoval's age and bad leg have kept him from going very far for water, so he turned to neighbors asking if they can spare some.
He uses one of those store cars. Fills him with jugs, and he walks in either direction, and he will ask people, will you give me water to take back home?
In the last few days, the church got a hold of a pallet of water bottles, so Sandoval can use that until they run out. And the biggest change is, now he can take a hot shower. All he has to do is cross the street. That's where the Tulare County Office of Emergency Services pulled up three flatbed trucks, each carrying a portable building with rows of doors. Open a door and you enter a room just big enough for a white fiberglass shower, three shelves for belongings, and a stool. The water pouring from the shower heads comes from a hose connected to the neighboring city of Porterville's water main. Andrew Lockman with Tulare County says hot showers are a health issue in this neighborhood.
We recognize that as the weather gets colder here in wintertime, that folks that have been taking baths and showers using water out of buckets when the ambient temperature was nice, that works. It does not work anymore in the winter.
For people who live in warm houses, a bucket bath would suffice. But in East Porterville, living conditions are poor. Many residents live in trailers with failing roofs and have a hard time paying bills because of seasonal agricultural work. A cold shower in those conditions could bring on pneumonia or other opportunistic diseases. Gilberto Sandoval lives in one of those homes. He was coughing this day and says cold showers would worsen his health conditions.
This program here is it's a good thing.
So he's going to get a towel and go take a shower?
¿Va a traer una toallita para bañarse?
Sí, más ratito me voy a acabar de...
He's picking up trash in the back, and he's going to go then get a towel and a soap. He's going to go into the shower.
Tulare County plans to run the showers for the next 6 months. But if the drought persists, the showers may stay up even longer. For the California Report, I'm Ezra David Romero in East Porterville.
Two Southern California Democrats seeking second terms have lost very close assembly races in Los Angeles County. KPCC's Sharon McNary gives us the rundown on the final races to be decided in California.
Republican businessman David Hadley has unseated Torrance Assemblyman Al Maritsuchi. He ended up 706 votes behind as the last batch of ballots were counted. They raised a combined $2 million for their campaigns. Independent committees spent about the same amount. One of those indie donors was billionaire Charles T. Munger Jr. He spent $1.2 million to defeat Maritsuchi. In all, Munger spent at least $11 million helping California Republicans erase the Democrats' legislative supermajorities. In the San Fernando Valley, Assemblyman Raul Bocanegra suffered a surprise loss to a fellow Democrat, political newcomer Patty Lopez. Bocanegra's campaign raised nearly $900,000, but came up short where it counts, 467 votes behind Lopez. For the California Report, I'm Sharon McNary.
And finally, for those of us scheduled to work on Thanksgiving Day, we should get paid double for that and for working Christmas Day. That's the gist of a bill one California assemblymember plans to introduce next year. San Diego Democrat Lorena Gonzalez says big box stores and restaurants keep expanding their hours, forcing people to work the 2 days that have traditionally been holidays for most people. And that's the California Report for Wednesday, November 26th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Julie Small. This is the California Report.
Support for the California Report comes from the California Healthcare Foundation, rating hospitals, doctors, and long-term care. Smarter choices start at calqualitycare.org. Barracuda Networks, innovators of simple solutions to complex IT problems such as data storage, compression, and disaster recovery. Barracuda.com. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org.